Alright, well, so we left off testing with these six lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, "Hi, Yula Ratzonim Refi, Mashma Labasofa, Mashma Meikara." So if you remember again this morning, so we spoke about the idea that before that, we Gemara quoted the Braisa that spoke about the idea that before Shmona Esrei, we say, Hashem Svasai Kiptach, Hufi Agiti Lasecha. And after Shmona Esrei, we end off with the phrase, Yula Ratzonim, Tes Amud Beis, six lines up from the bottom. And when Shmona Esrei is over, we end with the phrase of Yihiyu L'Ratzon Imrei Fi, that my words, the way that my words should find Ratzon, should find favor in to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Braisa said that Yihiyu L'Ratzon is at the end, Hashem Svasai Tiftach is at the beginning. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. How do you know? Why should it be? He says, Hai Michti. Let's see. Hai Yul Ratzon Imrei Fi, Mashma Lelosof, Mashma Meikara. Yul Ratzon Imrei Fi, the truth is, could just as easily be at the beginning of Shmona Esrei as it could be the end of Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, so why did Chazal choose to put it at the end? The Gemara says, Deba'ina Lemeimar, Mai Taima Taknura, Barla Acha Yud Chesbrachos, Leimru Meikara. Why do you say that so at the end? You could say it at the beginning. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Hudibre Drab Shem Ben Pazi, Hoil Velo Amr David Ela Le Acha Yud Chesparshios, Lefichach Takinura, Barla Acha Yud Chesbrachos. So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. That since Yulur Atsonim Reifi is a Pasuk from Tehillim, and David HaMelech only said it after 18 chapters of Tehillim, so too we only say that phrase when? After the 18, I mean, we have 19 brachos, but after the 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Hani Yulchas, Yutes Havyon. But what are you talking about? The Yul Ratzon doesn't appear after 18 chapters of Tehillim, it actually appears after 19 chapters, to which the Gemara says, Ashrei Ha'ish, Velama Ragshu Goyim, Chada Parshahi. So the Gemara answers, well, the truth is, that the first two kapitlach of Tehillim are in fact really one kapitel. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda Brev Rav Shimon Ben Pazi, Kuf Gimel Parshios Amr David, Velo Amr Haleluka Ad Shrem Mapalasen Shal Rishoyim. David HaMelech said 103 kapitlach of Tehillim, and he didn't say the word Haleluka until when? Until after the kapitel that discussed the downfall of the wicked. Shene Emar, Yitamu Chata Min Ha'aretz U Rishoyim Odeinam, Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem, Haleluka. So David HaMelech only says Haleluka after the kapitel, this is Barchi Nafshi, only after the kapitel that deals with the downfall of the wicked. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Hani kuf gimel kuf dalet havyon. That's not 103 chapters, that's 104 chapters. Ela shmamina ashrei ish v'lamarag shugayim chada parshehi. But we see from here that what? That at least according to the Gemara, the first two kapitlach of Tehillim are actually reckoned as one long kapitel. The Amr Rav Shulban Achmani Amr Rav Yochanan, top of Yud Rabosai, kol parsha shahaisa chaviva. Al David, Pasach Baba Ashrei, the Siyim Baba Ashrei. Any kapitel that was very near and dear, David HaMelech had certain kapitlach that spoke to him a little bit more. So any kapitel that was nearer and dearer to David begins with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei. So the Gemara says, Dichsiv, Ashrei Ha'ish, because if you look at the first kapitel of Tehillim, it begins, Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the individual, V'siyim ba'ashrei, and it ends with Ashrei as well, Dichsiv, Ashrei kol chosei vo, praiseworthy are all those who put their faith in God. I'll say the point the Gemara is making over here, that the bottom line, what is the bottom line. First of all, according to the Gemara, first two kapitlach of Tehillim are really reckoned as one. But for our purposes, the reason why this is important is because it helps us understand the placement of Yihiyu L'Ratzon Imrei Fi. That's why do we say that phrase at the end of Shmona Esrei? We mimic what David HaMelech did in Tehillim. David HaMelech put that phrase after 18 chapters, right? If you count the first two as one. So do we put that phrase after the 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei? Weiter. Hano Baryoni Dahave Bishwavu Sid Rabbi Meir. But it's a very interesting case. Baryonim. There were a group of Baryonim. Now, what are Baryonim? I don't know. I guess what we call them today is hooligans. Hooligans. What are they called?
Boors.
Boors. Boors. Okay. It's actually one of those interesting words that in Hebrew and English are the same. Right? A boor, beis, vav, resh, is a boor. B-O-O, resh. B-O-O-R. Right? So the Gemara says, Hano Baryonim Dahave Bishwavu Sid Rabbi Meir. There are a couple of boors, hooligans, in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood. Vahavu Kametzare Le Tuva. And they were giving Rabbi Meir incredible trouble. Boi Rabbi Meir Rachami Eluya, ki hechi delimusu. Rabbi Meir wanted to daven that they should die. That they should die. So we'll say 8 lines down from the top. Amrile Bruria Divisu. So Bruria, Rabbi Meir's wife, said to him, Mai Daitach, Why would you daven for them to die? What are you thinking? Well, maybe you're basing your actions on what the Pasuk in Tehillim says, that literally the sin should cease to exist. Miksiv chotim, chatoim ksiv. The Pasuk doesn't say that sinners should cease to exist. What does the Pasuk say? That sin should cease to exist. Va'od, furthermore, shafri l'seif adikra, go to the end of the pasuk, urishoim odeinam. So what does the pasuk say? And the wicked will be no more. So Bruria, listen to this. So Bruria is teaching us in Rabbi Meir. Here's how you're supposed to read the pasuk. Kevan di'itamu chatoim, urishoim odeinam. What is David HaMelech saying? The person, the sinner, is not bad. What's bad? What's bad? The sin. So what should you do? Get rid of the sin. And by definition, the wicked will cease to exist. Not because the wicked will die, but rather what? Because if the wicked stop sinning, then ultimately they're no longer wicked. Elo, said the Gemara, says, rather, what should you do, my husband, Rabbi Meir? Boi rachami iluya de la hadru b'tshuva. You should daven for them that they should do tshuva. So the Gemara says, urishoim odeinam, and they won't be urishoim anymore. Boi rachami iluya, Rabbi Meir daven on their behalf, v'hadru b'tshuva, and they did tshuva. So I'll say, just maramakum for you, so you look at the Marshon, others who discuss theologically, this is a very problematic Gemara, because generally we assume that in general, the only way to do tshuva is if you do it yourself. The notion that Rabbi Meir is davening on their behalf, and therefore as a result of his prayers, they do tshuva, is quite fascinating. All right, you look into it over Shabbos. So the Gemara goes on. So there was a particular tzduki that a tzduki, remember, we spoke about the tzdukim. The tzdukim were individuals who only believed in Torah shebichsav and not in Torah shebal peh. So there's a particular tzduki who came over to Bria, and he started up with her, ksiv, roni akara, lo yalada. So right, so the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Rani Akara, the woman who is barren will sing out, even though what? She has not born children, right? The woman who's barren and hasn't had children will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishum delo yalada Rani, I don't understand, says this to Duki Tiburiya. Because a woman is barren, she's gonna sing out, she's gonna call out to God. Amrele Shatya. So Bria said to him, you fool. Shafir l'sefer dekra. Look at the end of the pasuk. Tchsiv, kirabim b'nei shomema, mibnei be'ula. Because what does the end of the pasuk say? Because the sons of the desolate ones are much more than the sons of the be'ula. Be'ula literally means the married one. Amar Hashem, Ela Maya Kara Lo Yalada, what does it mean that the woman is barren, she didn't have children? Roni Knesses Yisrael, Shedome Li Isha Akara Shlo Yolda Baran Li Gehenom Kevasaychu. What the Pasuk means, said Buria, is, Roni Akara, yes, rejoice the barren woman, not because she doesn't have children, she has plenty of children, but she's barren from children who are going to Gehenom. Meaning, why does the mother rejoice? The mother representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the children that she has are not going to go to Gehenna. She's barren in that she's not going to give birth to children who are going to Gehenna. Okay? Amar Yahu Tzduki to Rabbi Avo. Another Tzduki came to Rabbi Avo. Ksiv. Mizmor the David Bavarcho Mipnei Avshalom Binaom. So the capital in Tehillim, and remember, this is the third chapter in Tehillim, already all the way in the beginning of the Tehillim. David HaMelech is a song of David when he ran away from Avshalom his son. So, Rabbi, if you remember again, 2 days ago, we spoke about this capital, right? The Gemara asked what question? Why does it say Mizmor le David if he's running away from his son who rebelled against him? It should say Kina le David. All right, we dealt with that there. So the Gemara says, Ksiv le David Michtam. And yet, the capital in Nun Zayin, chapter 57 in Tehillim, speaks about David HaMelech's flight from Shaul. So the Gemara says, Michti, or the Tzduki said, well, let's examine this. Maisa Shaul Hava Beresha. Lichtov Beresha. So this Tzeduki asked Rabbi Avo, he says, I don't understand the order of Tehillim. The episode with Shaul, David HaMelech running away from Shaul, happened way before the episode with Avshalom. So why isn't it recorded in Tehillim in chronological order, and we should discuss the episode with Shaul before Avshalom? To which Rabbi Avo responded, Amarle Asun Delo Darshisun Smuchin Kashya. You, Tzedukim, who don't darshin smuchin, you have a kasha. Le anon de darshinon smuchin, lo kashilon. But we who darshin smuchin, we don't have a kasha. We'll say, what does that mean? So one of the exegetical principles that we have in deciphering the Torah is the concept of smuchin. Smuchin means that when we see two things that are right next to each other, it means that there's a connection between the two, and we can learn out certain things one to the other. Now, you only believe in those exegetical principles if you you believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. So Rabbi Avo says to the Tzduki, you who don't believe in Smuchin, you who don't believe in this exegetical principle, I understand your kasha. We who dash in Smuchin, I'm going to tell you why the juxtaposition makes sense. Shneemar, and now he just quotes, Smuchin la'ad li'olam, asuyim be'emes v'yashar. Lama nismucha parshas avshalom leparshas gogu magog. So Rabbosai, amazingly enough, in Kapitel Beis, David HaMelech makes reference to the war of Gog and Magog, right? That ultimate showdown between good and evil that precedes the Messianic era. So why is the Parsha of Avshalom right next to the Parsha of Gog and Magog? She'im yomar lacha adam, that if a person would say to you, klum yesh eved shemorid birabo, that there's no such thing as a servant who would rebel against his master, af ata amar lo, you could respond to him, klum yesh ben shemorid ba'aviv, is there such a thing as a son who would rebel against his father? Elohava, Hachanami Hava. So Rabbi said, what's going to happen, one of the aspects of the war of Gog and Magog is that the Avodim, the slaves, will rise up against their masters. So if somebody tells you, is there such a thing that slaves rise up against the master? So the Gemara says you could respond to him, well, is there such a thing as a son rebelling against the father? That's also a disruption of the natural order. But we see that what? We see that sons have rebelled against their father. So if I can accept that, then what? Then I can accept the fact that slaves will rise up against their master as well. So for David HaMelech, by design, put the capital of Avshalom right next to the war of Gog and Magog, because we learn out that since the rebellion of Avshalom occurred, we learn out from that what? That the rebellion of Gog and Magog could also occur. David, just bring in, we could bring in chairs. Sigmar says like this, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishra Misham Yochai, Mai Tichsiv, Piha Pascha Bechachma, V'toras Chesed Al Lishono. So this is the Sabosai. So just so you understand how timely this is, right? How beautifully timely this is. I said, now you're going to have a good Vart, Shalom Aleichem. You're going to have a good Vart for the Shabbos table, right? You ready, boys? You could also bring this one to the Shabbos table, right? Piha Pascha Bechachma. Julian, David, three lines in and the wide lines. Yodam Adalif. Pia Pasa B'chachma. Her mouth is open with wisdom. V'toras chesed alushona. And the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. So of course, this is a pasuk from Mishlei, written by Shlomo HaMelech. So keneged mi amar Shlomo Mikrozeh. So who did Shlomo, who is this pasuk talking about? So of course, the obvious answer is, oh boy. Come on, guys, I've been honest. Your wife. Ishishchayil. Okay, you're saying, it's obvious, too much your wife. Okay, but who else besides your wife is it referring to? So the Gemara says, Lo Amra Ele Keneged David Aviv. Listen to how beautiful this is. That Shlomo HaMelech wrote this about his father. That Ishishchayil Miyim Pia Pascha B'chachma V'soras Chesed Alushona is Shlomo HaMelech describing his father. Why? Shedar B'chamisha Olamim V'amar Shira. That David HaMelech lived in five worlds, and in each of his five worlds, he went ahead and he sang praise to God. Number one, Dar B'moy Imo. He lived in his mother's womb. V'amar Shira. Now, it doesn't literally mean that he said Shira in the womb. What it means is he said Shira about the in utero experience. Where did he say that? Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem, V'chol Kravai Et Shem Kodsho. Right? So literally, Barchi Nafshi, my soul will bless God. V'chol Kravai. Chol Kravai means what? All of my innards. So says the Gemara, that's a reference to David HaMelech praising Hashem for when he was Zilcha to live in his mother's womb. Next, Yotzila Avira Olam, when David came into the world, Vinistakil Bikochavim, Umazalos, and he looked at the heavens, he saw the stars, and he saw the various constellations. Amar Shira, he sang praise to God, Shinemar, Baruch Hashem Malachov, Gibore Koach, Osed Dvaro, Lishmoa Bikol Dvaro, Baruch Hashem, Kol Tzvaov. So the Gemara is really focusing on that last piece. Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvaov, right? Bless God, all Tzvaov means your hosts. But usually that refers to the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. So David HaMelech said Shira when he first came into this world and saw the magnificence of the universe. Yonach Mishtei Imo, he nursed from his mother. V'nistakil Bidadeha, and he looked at the place from where he was nursing. V'amar Shira, and he said Shira. Shine'emar, Baruchi Nafshi Es Hashem, V'al Tishkechi Kol Gimulav. My soul should bless God and do not forget Kol Gimulav. My Kol Gimulav, what does that mean, Kol Gimulav? Amr Rabbi Yavo, Sha'asala Dadayim Bimakom Bina, Taimamai, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Kadeshlo Yistakel Bamakom Erva, Rav Masna Amr Kadeshlo Yonek Mimakom Hatinovas. Well, so listen to this. David HaMelech, even as a child, appreciated the fact that he nursed from his mother in an area that was right opposite her heart. That meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have allowed a child to nurse from a mother from any different part of her anatomy. But the point that he dafka made the child nurse from the mother right there means that what? That the child ingests maternal wisdom right from the beginning of his life. David HaMelech sees this, he's inspired by this, and he sings Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this. Next, Ra'am of Ma'palas and Shal Rishon, he saw the downfall of the wicked. Va'amar Shir, and he sang praise to God. Shnei Mar, Yitamu Chata Min Ha'aretz Urishayim Odinam Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem Haliluka Nistakil B'yom Amisa. He looked at the day of death. Va'amar Shira, and he sang praise to God. Shnei Mar, Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem Hashem Elokai Gadalta Ma'od Hod V'Hadar Levashto. So here, from Baruch Nafshi, right? My soul will go ahead and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, my God, you have become so great. Hod v'hadar levashta. You clothe yourself in splendor and magnificence. So the Gemara says, my mashal da'yom misa ne'amar. How do you know that that pasuk is referring to death? Amar Rabbah bar Rav Shila miseifa dinyon. Because look at the end of the pasuk. Tichsev, tastir panecha yibahilun. Tosif Rucham Yigvon. Because literally, David HaMelech says, at the end of that pasuk, if you hide your face, we will be swept away. When you collect our spirit, we will expire. So the end of the pasuk is talking about death itself. Therefore, the Gemara says, the beginning of the pasuk is also referenced to death. Rav Shimon bar Abba Shabbosai, you see how beautiful that is. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Pia b'chasa b'chachma v'soras chesed alishona. That her mouth opens with wisdom, and the Torah of kindness is on her tongue, is a reference to his father. Never, who ever thought of such a thing? Now, by the way, why Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo wrote it in Mishlei about his father David. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Why Shlomo would describe his father in feminine is a very interesting idea. And it has to do, we're not doing it now, but it has to also, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu also vacillates between masculine and feminine. Sometimes God is in the masculine, sometimes God is in the feminine. A lot to talk about there, but we'll save it for a different time. So the point over here, Bosa, I just want to point out, so there, Baruch Nafshi appears 5 times throughout Tehillim. So the Gemara understands that Baruch Nafshi, every time you see a Baruch Nafshi, it refers to another element of the universe that awed David HaMelech. In utero, coming into the world, seeing the constellations, Ma'palas and Shal Tzadikim, day of death. Okay. Rav Simi bar Ukva, Va'amri La Mar Ukva, Havishchiach Kameid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. So Rav Simi bar Ukva, and some say it was Mar Ukva himself, was often found in the presence of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. V'havimisader Agarata Kameid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And he used to arrange Shi'uram on Agarata. Agarata, we know, are the homiletic expositions of the Gemara. So he used to arrange his Shi'ur on the Agarata in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amarle, he said to him, My dichsiv barchi nafshi es Hashem, v'chol kravai Hashem kodsho. What's the meaning of the phrase that let my soul bless God and my insides will bless Hashem kodsho, His holy name? Amrle bo urei shelo k'midas hakadosh baruch hu midas basar v'dam. Bo, so listen to this, boys. You see this? Good. About 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 lines down from where it gets wide. So see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much better than man. Midas basar v'adam, when it comes to a human being, tsar tzura agabe akosam, if he draws a picture on the wall, ve'inu yocho lahatil ba ruach u'neshama kravayim u'bnei me'ayim. So if a person draws a picture on the wall, what can you do besides draw that picture? You can't breathe life into the picture. You can't insert internal organs into the picture. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino kein. But God is not like that. What does God do? Tsar tzura besoch tzura umatil ba ruach u'neshama kravayim u'bnei me'ayim. But amazingly enough, what does God do? God creates an image or a form within a form. And in that form within a form, He gives that form, He gives that form organs, and He gives that form life. Of course, a reference to what? A reference to the child in utero. V'hainu da'amra Chana. And this is what Chana, the mother of Shmuel HaMelech, meant when she said, Ein kadosh ka Hashem, ki ein biltecha. There is no one as holy as God because there is no one like you. Ve'ein tsur ke'elokeinu. Now, the way we normally translate this is, and there is no one tsur. Tsur literally means either it can mean a rock, it can mean a creator like our God. But the Gemara says, no. My ein tsur ke'elokeinu. What does it mean? There is no rock like our God. Ein tsayar ke'elokeinu. There is no artist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is the greatest artist in the world cannot match what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create. Mai ki ein biltecha, what does it mean? Because there is none like you, or there is nothing without you. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, bar Menasya al tikri biltecha, ela ein lavalo secha. Shelo kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar vadam. What does it mean, lavalo secha? Because see how God is different than man. Midas basar vadam, ma'asa yodav mevalin oso. VaKadosh Baruch Hu mevalin ma'asov. So what's an amazing thing? When man creates something, almost inevitably what happens? His creations outlive him. But the amazing thing about God is that when God creates, he outlives his creations. Amar le, ana hachi kamina. So he responded, this is what I mean to say. Hachi kamina lacha. Hani chamisha barchi nafshi kineged mi amran David. Who, when David said barchi nafshi 5 times, why 5? What did the 5 correspond to? Suppose that we had one answer already, that it corresponds to the 5 different planes of existence that David HaMelech appreciated. But now the Gemara wants to give us a different suggestion. Elo, kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u kineged neshama. Rather, the 5 barchi nafshis correspond to the 5 different ways in which our neshama, our soul, resembles God. How so? Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu melo kol ha'olam, just like God fills the entirety of the world, Af neshama maleas kol ha'guf, so too the neshama fills the entirety of the body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu roeh ve'eino nireh, just like God sees but is not seen, Af neshama roeh ve'eino nireh, so too the soul sees but is not seen. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu zanas kol ha'olam, just like God sustains the entire world, Af neshama zanas kol ha'guf, so too the soul sustains the entire body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu tar, just as God is pure, Af neshama tahora. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev bechedrei chadarim, just like God sits, in a secretive place, chedrei chadarim, in a room concealed by rooms, Af neshama yoshevis bechedrei chadarim. Yavo mi sheyesh bo chamisha dvarim halalu, v'yishabeach lemi sheyesh lo chamisha dvarim halalu. Listen to how beautiful this is. Let the one who has a neshama that contains these 5 attributes, come and praise the God, the entity that contains these 5 attributes as well. So beautiful. Amar Rav Hanuna, Mai Dichsiv, Mika Chochom, Umi Yodea Pasher Davar. So we'll say here now the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Koheles. Mika Chochom, who is like the wise one? Umi Yodea Pasher Davar. And who knows, we'll see what it means, but Pasher Davar almost means like a pshara. Who knows how to reach the compromise of a thing? Mika Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shiyodea Lasos Pshara Bein Shnei Tzadikim. Who is like God? Who else is like God who can make a compromise between 2 great people? I'm also listening to this story. Who are the 2 great people? Bein Chizkiyahu l'Yishayahu. There was a fight, a rift, between Chizkiyahu, who was the king, and Yishayahu, who was the prophet. What was the fight about? Amar Chizkiyahu Amar, Leisi Yishayahu Gaboy, Da'achi Ashkechan Be'ilyahu, Da'azle Gabi Achov. Yishayahu Amar, Leisi Chizkiyahu Gaboy, Dahachi Ashkechan be Yehoram ben Achav the Azul Gabi Elisha. So what were they fighting about, Rabbi Osai? They were fighting about COVID. That the Chizkiyahu was the king, and he said it's only appropriate that the Navi, the prophet, come to me, the king, because I'm the king, and we have historical precedent for that, because Eliyahu HaNavi went to Achav, and yeah, Achav was a big Rasha, but Eliyahu HaNavi had enough deference to the monarchy that he went to the king. Yishayahu, you should come to visit me. Yishayahu said, no, it's not true. We have other precedent that Yehoram, who was the king, went to go visit Elisha. So you, the king, should come visit me. So the king and the prophet are not conversing, not dialoguing, not talking. Why? Because they're standing on ceremony. Who should come to? Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did God do? Hevi Yisurim Achizkiyahu Va'amar Lo Yishayahu Lech Uvaker Es Achole. So what did he do? He made Chizkiyahu sick. Now we'll discuss why Chizkiyahu got sick. And he said to Yishayahu, go do Biker Cholim. This way, by the way, everybody saves face, right? You should just know such an incredible use. What is the Gemara teaching you? That what's the best way to reach compromise? The best compromise is the one that allows everyone to maintain their dignity. Because as soon as you take dignity away from them, then somebody's, like most things in life, you know, it's not really, it's really about covet. It's really about ego. It's really about dignity. If you could allow people to preserve their personal dignity, you can go far. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Chizkiyo sick. This way, again, Yeshayo is a from Jew, right? He's a from Jew. He's going to go do Bikur Cholim. Go do Bikur Cholim Chizkiyo. So what happens? So the Gemara says like this. Shinaimar b'yamim ahem chol chizkiyo lamos. Vayovo evayovo, because it was in those days, Chizkiyo was dying, got deathly sick. Vayomer elav Yeshayo ben Amos Hanavi. Vayomer elav komar Hashem tzvakos. Tzav lebeisecha ki meis ata velo techaya. So Yeshayahu comes in, and Rabbos, I don't try this when you do Bikur Cholim, but he says to Chizkiyah HaNavi, Chizkiyah HaMelech, it's not looking good. You better get your affairs in order, because you're going to die. So the Gemara says, Mai Kimeis, Kimai Kimeis Ata V'lo Techaya, why a double lashon? Why does he say to him, you're going to die, you're not going to live? Meis Ata Ba'olam Hazeh, V'lo Techaya Olam Haba. See, Yeshayahu HaNavi shows up, and he tells Chizkiyahu, not only are you going to die, so your Olam Hazeh is coming to an end, you have no Olam Haba. So Chizkiyahu hears this. Amalei Mai Kuli Hai. I will say, you have to understand a little bit of historical context. During the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, there was unprecedented Torah scholarship. The Gemara says that even the women and children were well versed in the laws of Tum and Tara, the laws of ritual purity and impurity, which we know, when we get to those laws in the Gemara, we can't wait till they're over, because they're very complex. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech elevated the people to unparalleled spiritual heights. In fact, the Gemara says he could have been the Mashiach. So Chizkiyahu HaNavi now just hears from the Navi of God, that what? That he doesn't have Olam Haba. So he says, what are you talking about? Mai Kuli Hai. Amrlei, Mishud Blasata Perev Rivya. Chizkiyahu, you're being punished. You know why you're being punished? Because you never tried to have a family. So Chizkiyahu says, let me, and Chizkiyahu never married. He says, let me explain. Amar lei mishum dechazoi liburach hakodesh, denafka minoi benin delomalu. So Chizkiyahu says, let me explain to you, Prophet. The reason I didn't do that was why? Because I saw burach hakodesh, that I'm going to have a child, and my child's going to be a big Rasha. Amar lei bahadik hafsha derachman alamalach. So Yeshayahu gives him a fascinating answer. What does Yeshayahu say? Essentially, mind your own business. Don't get involved in God's cheshbonus. Don't get involved in God's calculation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to marry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to establish a family. That's our mandate. How it's going to work out, what's going to be with the kids, that's up to God. That's up to us also, but we don't get involved in that. So the Gemara says, Amarle, so interesting enough, Chizkiyahu is Mekabel. So what does he say? He says, Hashta havli bartech. So Chizkiyahu says, I have an idea. Yeshayahu, you have a single daughter. Let me marry your daughter. Because this way, maybe the combined merit of me and your daughter, maybe we'll be able to offset the offspring, and maybe the offspring will be good. So listen to this. So Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyahu, I'm sorry. Too late. The gzera is there already. It's too late. So listen to this, Rabosai. You can imagine this scene. So Chizkiyahu shoots back. Amar le ben Amots. So first of all, now you can see this is a little bit of a shtach. Because what is he not doing? He's not calling him by his first name. He's not calling him Yeshayahu. He's calling him ben Amots. This was a sign of anger. Ben Amots. Kali nevuasecha v'tzei. Do me a favor. Stop prophesizing and get out. Why? Why does Chizkiyahu have this response? Kach mikublani mi beis avi abba. Because I have a tradition from my father's home. And what's the tradition? The tradition from my father's home is that even if you have a short, sharp sword against your neck, a person never stops praying for divine assistance. Or in other words, what Chizkiyahu says is, Yeshayahu, you want to tell me I'm in trouble? That's fine. But don't you dare tell me that there's no hope. Right? It's never too late. Don't you dare tell me that it's too late. And look what he says. The moment that you tell me it's too late, that you know what that means to me? That means you're not a real prophet of God. Because every Jew knows that no matter how dire the circumstances, you never throw in the towel until the towel is taken away from you. So he goes on. He says, Itmar nami amrabi Yochanan amrabi Elazar de amri Tarvayu afilu cherev chada munachas al tzavaro shel adam al yimane atzva min arachamim. And in fact, this became a statement. This became part of our Masorah that even if a person is in very dire trouble, a person does not stop supplicating to God for assistance. Literally, the literal translation is it means even if there's a sharp sword against your neck, a person doesn't stop asking God for assistance. Shene emar, because the pasuk in Iyov says, Hein yikdaleni, even if God goes ahead and kills me, lo ayachel, to him I will praise. So the Gemara understands that is not as much praising, but rather what is it? It's supplicating. And so the good news is that is hands down the longest daf in the Seches Brachos. So we got through it. All right, I'm sorry. Amid Beis is not much better, but all right, we're going to make a dent in it. Amar Rav Chanan, afilu bal chalomos, omar lo li adam lemachar hu meis, al yimana atzamin arachamin. So the Gemara Rav Chanan says that even if what? Even if a dream master. Now, I don't know what a dream master is, but I guess Bepashtos, he's someone who knows how to interpret dreams. We'll see about it actually in the last chapter of Brachas, is where the Gemara gets all into dreams. Are dreams meaningful? Are dreams meaningless? How does it interpret it? So we'll get into that. But let's say, for argument's sake, that interpretation of dreams is meaningful. Even if a master dream interpreter tells you that's what? That you're going to die tomorrow, al yimana atzma min arachamim. Don't stop begging God for mercy. Meaning, or knows what that's really saying about Sai is what? That nothing's set in stone. Man has the ability to change the decrees of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shene emar, ki barov chalomos havolim v'havolim udvarim harbe ki es ha'elokim yore. Because ultimately dreams have much frivolity and nothingness. At the end of the day, fear God. Miad. So now after Chizkiyo hears from Yeshayo that Yeshayo said he's going to die and there's no hope, what does he do? Vayisov Chizkiyo panav el akir vayespalel el Hashem. Chizkiyo turned his face to the wall and he began to daven to Hashem. So the Gemara says, my kir, what does that mean that he turned to the wall? Amrav Shimon Levi, mikiros libo. It means from literally from the walls of his heart, meaning from the depths of his heart. This wasn't just stamatila, this was a heartsick tefila. Shene emar, me'ai ochila kiros libi. Rabbi Levi Amar, al iske hakir. He turned to him regarding matters of the kir. What does that mean? Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. Uma shunamis, shelo asesa ela kir achas kitana. Hecheyisa es bina. So I will say, what this is referring to over here is the Isha Shunamis. The Navi tells about the Shunammite woman who went ahead and built a room for the Navi Elisha. And what happened? And in the merit of that, when her child died, her child was brought back to life. So Chizkiyo, so we're going to talk about that story more later on. So Chizkiyo HaNavi says, you know what? The Isha HaShunamis, all she did was build a wall for the Prophet of God, and built a room for the Prophet of God, and you brought back her son from the dead. Ani Avi Abba Shechafa Es HaHeichal Kula BeKesef UBezav Alachas Kama VaKama. But my grandfather, now who was Chizkiyo's grandfather? His grandfather was Shlomo HaMelech. Right? My grandfather, who built you a beautiful Beis HaMikdash and covered it all in gold and silver, all the more so that you should spare me, his child. Zechar no es asher hi salachti lefanecha be'emes ubelev shalim v'hatov be'enecha asisi. Remember that I've always walked before you with emes, with truthfulness, with a complete heart, and I've always done what's good in your eyes. My vatov be'enecha asisi. So we'll say, listen to this. What does it mean when Chizkiyo says that I've always done what's good in your eyes? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, shesamach geula letfila. Right? So what did he do? He was so meich, right? We'll say, this is our whole sugya today. He was so meich geula letfila. He was always careful to juxtapose Gaal Yisrael to Shmor Esed. Now we'll say, based on what we said this morning, it actually makes a lot of sense. If you understand the nature or the importance of Gaal Yisrael, that Gaal Yisrael speaks about redemption from Egypt, Shmor Esed is petitioning God for our supplications. So by juxtaposing Gaal Yisrael to Shmor Esed, what we're really saying is what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe that in Shmor, when I ask you for all my needs, I believe that you can come through. I believe that you can do it. Why do I believe that? Because I have historical precedent. Because you did it for us once before. So now, according to this approach, Chizkiyo is saying over here is in that you saw Akash Baruch Hu, I've always believed in your ability to do anything. So now I'm asking you for a big one. Please come through. Please come through. Rabbi Levi Omar. Rabbi Levi says, no, that what he was referring to are the other good things that he did in life. What did he do? Number one, Shaganaz Sefer Refuos. He hid the book of remedies. So Rabbi Levi, apparently, over time, they developed the Sefer Refuos, which was a book that taught you how to go. It's not a hocus pocus book. It was like it was a medicinal book. It was a book that had all different remedies. You take this herb, you take that herb. So Chizkiyo hid the Sefer HaRefuos. Why? Because the Gemara says elsewhere, we'll see this more, people stopped davening to God. That when people got sick, instead what they did is they went to Borders to buy the to buy the edition of Sefer HaRefuos, and nobody was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chizkiyo said, this is a problem. We have to bring God back into the equation, and so he hid the Sefer HaRefuos. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, Shisha Dvarim Asa Chizkiyo HaMelech. So the rabbis teach that Chizkiyo HaMelech did six things. Al Gimel Hodulo, three of them the rabbis said a shkayach, they gave him, they agreed with him. Va'al Gimel Lo Hodulo, and on three of them they did not agree with him. Al Gimel Hodulo, what were the three things they agreed with? Ganaz Sefer HaRefuos V'Hodu, he hid the book of remedies, and they were very happy with that. Kitesh and Kites Nachash Hanachoshes V'Hodulo, he broke the copper serpent. And remember, also, you remember what that's referring to? That's referring in the Midbar, right? When one of the episodes of the Jewish people complained about the Mun, there was an outbreak of snakes. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu take care of the outbreak of snakes? How did he ensure that the people who got bitten would not die because of the poison? HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands him to create the Nechushtan, the copper snake. Well, what happened over time? So that remained. Over time, people began worshipping that as an idol. Chizkiyo destroyed it. But hold on, the rabbis were very happy with that. Girer Atzmos Aviv Almito Shel Chavalim V'Hodulo. He dragged his father's bones throughout the street on a bed of ropes. Remember, Chizkiyo's father was a king by the name of Achaz. Achaz was an exceptionally wicked king who introduced much idolatry. So when Chizkiyo becomes king, the first thing he does is he repudiates his father's legacy. How does he do that? With a public desecration of his father's memory by dragging his father's bones throughout the street. And the rabbis felt that he did the right thing. Va'al gimu lo hodulo. But regarding three things, they did not agree with him. Number one, sosom me gichon. He stopped up the Gihon spring. So I will say, you could see the Gihon today. If you go to Ir David, right? If you go to the City of David excavations, if you go all the way down, the Gihon spring still runs under Yerushalayim. But amazingly enough, what Chizkiyo did is he plugged up the spring. Why did he plug up the spring? He was concerned that Ashur, right, who was the major regional enemy, would go ahead and get benefit from the spring should they try to invade the city. Therefore, he stopped it up. Eretz Yisrael, Ashur, Assyria. Assyria. So remember, just in the way that these empires worked, Assyria were the empire essentially before the Persians. So we go essentially from Assyria, these are all one nation, they morph. Assyria, Persia, Madai, Media, then Paras, Madai joined together, then Greece, then Rome. That's the
progression.
Thank you. The flow. So right, so he stopped up the Gihon, they didn't like it. The next thing he did is, in order to get Ashur to back off, right, to take their troops out of, to not invade Yerushalayim, he took down the doors of the Beis HaMikdash that were coated with gold, and he sent them to the king of Ashur as a tribute. The rabbis are not happy. V'lo hodulo. Avar Nisan b'Nisan v'lo hodulo. Similarly, he went ahead and he declared a leap year in Nisan. Now, Rabbi Yossi, remember, you're not allowed to go ahead and declare a leap year in Nisan, right? There's only one Nisan. The only time you could declare a leap year is when? Is in Chodesh Adar. So those are the three things that Chizkiyo did that Chazal did not agree with, right? Rabbi Yossi, I have to stop over here. We gave it our best, but in Yeretz Hashem, we'll do the rest for homework. We'll pick up with the Mishnah on Sunday morning. Mishnah on the bottom of Yudam, it's 8:20 in Yeretz Hashem, Shabbos.